communism's Christian roots. Before I start reading here, I just want to again state there is no doubt once you come to know Satan and once you are knowledgeable that the Christian religion with its Jewish root and Islam, they're all false lies, they're programs. And the only thing that you need to do is get educated. And what this does is just open your eyes. That's all. And once your eyes are open, they can no longer lie to you. And there's a huge onslaught right now. I'm recording this. It's February 2017. And the communists are just going crazy, and like Amdusha said, he told the Joy of Satan ministry back in 2003, and we didn't know much. I mean, a lot of that years ago, when I opened the Joy of Satan, I went on faith. There was so much I didn't know back then, but Amdusha told the Joy of Satan ministry back then, he said that just as Jehovah's people cannot see us, we cannot see them, he said, but they will manifest blatantly as the earth draws closer to the climax of our cause. And they have. What's going on in Europe and what the Jews do, they've got a mission, because nearly every Jewish soul, they're alien souls, has a mission to establish communism in any planet that they infest, to where the entire populace of the planet that are non-Jews are just enslaved under the most brutal conditions imaginable and become disposable human beings. And they're doing that right now all over the world. And what they do, their tactic, they make everything of civilization. Like, they come to this country, the Russian Jews, after the fall of the Iron Curtain and the collapse of communism in the former USSR, they came over to the United States in droves. They got the best jobs, like college professors, and the Jews over here put them in the medical profession, everything, as soon as they came over here, the majority of them. And they practically laid out the red carpet for them. And with their coming over here, it gave communism a boost over here, the American Communist Party. And what they do, they work to ruin and destroy everything they possibly can to make life so miserable on the Gentile populace that people that are duped into these brotherhood programs like Christianity, which they're phasing out, and they're putting the real communism, which is what Christianity really is. It's a lead up into communism. And this is nothing new. Like, a lot of deluded idiot Christians will try to claim that, oh, well, you know, since the 1960s and 1970s, the church has changed, yadda yadda yadda. No, it hasn't. This goes way, 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 way back. It's always been communist. Just like High Priest Don wrote The Kremlin on the Tiber. When it wasn't, they were communism, they were the KGB of the Middle Ages that murdered, tortured, the same old tactics, same old deal, controlling the person's entire life, no freedom, no different from communism. In this article, Communism's Christian Roots, that I'm about to read, proves the same thing. It's always been that way. And the thing is, they change according to the times a little bit, but their underlying theme is always the same. The brutal enslavement of humanity. And they work every way they can to ruin and destroy civilization so that people are duped into their backs are to the wall. They're desperate for a change because communism itself makes life to where you can't even live. And the same thing is the follow-up to it. Like the Bolshevik Revolution, and that was 100 years ago, so they're going to be on an onslaught because the Jew uses anniversaries of events. And that is why High Priest Don also noted, and so did High Priest Hooded Cobra, that the reason that they claim the Earth is only 6,000 years old, which they're always at odds with science because they're liars, that's why they attack science, they suppress science, is because of their numerology that they use to cast spells. There's only so many numbers that they can use, and they seize time, and they corrupt time, actually. But I'm not going to go into all of that, but the point is they're working to destroy civilization and make life as miserable as possible. And this is one of the things that Amdouchus stated, how they're manifesting blatantly, because people are finding out that their programs are a lie. Thank goodness for WWW, which is 666. The internet actually is of Satan because it knocks down barriers in communication. But it's important that people know this. Okay, here goes the article. Communism's Christian Roots. Christian theology is the grandmother of Bolshevism. Quote by Oswald Spengler. Christianity and communism are very close spiritually and ideologically. This is a fairly well-known concept that has been adopted by various thinkers, from Thomas More to Lev Tolstoy. Few people know that the world's first socialist state was established in Paraguay and was based on the ideas of Catholic Jesuits before Marx created his teachings. The Society of Jesus, the Jesuit religious order in the Catholic Church, was roughly equivalent to the KGB in the Soviet Union. The above quotes were taken from Pravda, the main Communist Party newspaper and leading newspaper of the former Soviet Union, from the article, Is There Any Difference Between Christianity and Communism? 30th of April, 2013. And here's a quote by Joseph Goebbels. He was one of the top Nazi leaders under Adolf Hitler. And here's his quote. American newspapers claim that Stalin has been preordained to save Christianity. And he did. And I'm going to insert something else here. Stalin was really into the occult. And we've got proof of it. I mean, there's a lot we know that if we... It's just so much information, it's hard to keep up on, like, doing newsletters and that. But Joseph Stalin was deep into the occult. But you don't hear about that because they won the war. And they keep that tight under wraps. And that's another reason why he changed his date of birth. The deal is, I mean, it's just, we have so much information, it's physically impossible to put it all up, but we're doing the best we can. Okay. Communism is not anti-Christian, as is commonly believed. In addition to this, the Catholic Church in China has over 70 million members and is growing. And according to these communists, I just want to explain something here for people who might not know, like teens and such. Communism is supposed to be against Christianity and all religions. I mean, you wouldn't see any pagan religions over there. But they allow the Catholic Church and such to thrive, which is so hypocritical, and it shows where they're really at. They're not against Christianity. And they try to say they are in that, but that's a lie. Okay, there is also the Catholic Changchung Cathedral in Communist North Korea, the nominal cathedral of the Roman Catholic Bishop of Pyongyang, North Korea. The Russian Orthodox Church worked hand in hand with the Communist Party in the USSR. The violence against its clergy during the revolution was simply to weed out the Tsarist elements from its ranks and nothing more. Stalin openly worked with the Orthodox Church to help the communist war effort for the Red Army during the Second World War. Today in Russia, high-ranking clergy in the Russian Orthodox Church openly advocate a Christian communist movement within their nation. The Catholic Church also has had a strong hand in the communistic liberation theology in South America. It's no mistake Catholic clergy could traverse the Iron Curtain during the Cold War with ease. And here's an article 80 million Bibles printed in China and counting. And it's a link to the article from Christianity Today. You can look it up on the internet. Ernst Bloch, 1885 to 1997, that was his lifespan, was a German Marxist philosopher and atheist theologian. Although not a Christian himself, he is said to have bridged the gap between Christian communism and the Leninist branch of Marxism. And Bloch is a Jewish name, okay? One of Bloch's major works, The Principle of Hope, contains such declarations as Ubi Lenin, Ibi Jerusalem. Where Lenin is, there is Jerusalem. And the Bolshevist fulfillment of communism is part of the age-old fight for God. Okay, and I've got my references below, and I'll read them at the end of the article. In truth, Christianity prepares the populace to be open to and to accept communism. There is nothing within the Christian doctrines or the teachings of the Nazarene that conflicts with communism in any way. Christianity is communism. Both programs work to enslave using terror, brutality, mass murder, and coercion. The Catholic Church was the KGB of the Middle Ages, ruling through terror, use of force, and mass murder. The Inquisition is a blatant example. Both programs prohibit the ownership of private property. Christianity prepares followers on a subliminal level for communism. Christians are indoctrinated to believe that poverty is a virtue. Once this concept takes hold upon one's subconscious mind, quite often a serious lack of money is a result, and this sometimes even lasts into future lives, speaking from a spiritual perspective. What this does, it also creates a self-perpetuating program, and in turn creates generations of poor. The Christian churches then appear as helpers of the poor and benefactors when all along it was the Christian teachings that created and enforced the problem. The Jew creates the problems and then gives the Jewish version of a damn solution for Gentiles. And more on this, there's an article on Christian mind control. There's two of them. There's one of that I have a sermon, and there's another one here. So be sure to check what's under the black sun. This will be put up, and they tell you how they do it. There is nothing at all spiritual about Christianity. Christianity is a tool for removing spiritual knowledge and powers and replacing these with meaningless robotic prayers corrupted from and repeated in the same fashion as Far Eastern mantras and endless indoctrination with false teachings aimed to embed a fictitious status and history of the Jewish people in the minds of Christians, which is nothing spiritual at all. Few, if any, Christian preachers can diagram the human soul, for example. The removal of and the corruption of spiritual knowledge prepares the populace to accept the atheistic communist state. Both Christianity and communism present themselves as brotherhood programs, promoting equality, prosperity, goodwill, and a better way of life. But upon closer examination of the real doctrines and histories, there is nothing more than a come along, and beneath the surface, terror, mass murder, torture, forced indoctrination, and keeping the populace ignorant are the bulwark of both of these programs. Any fool who reads the Judeo-Christian Bible can plainly see the endless accounts of mass murder, pillaging, rape, enslavement, and threats of eternal torture and damnation if the doctrines are not taken seriously or adhered to, and above all, how Jehovah was a murderous monster who preyed upon Gentiles, no different from the communist programs. For proof of these, see Jehovah and Human Blood Sacrifice, A Murderer and a Liar from the Beginning. Okay, and there's an audio sermon on that. So, I mean, all you gotta do is just go back to the page and click on it. It's under Exposing Christianity. It's in Exposing Christianity webpage. You can just download it. And here's a quote from Luke 19:27, and this is from the Nazarene. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. So here's that Nazarene ordering people to commit murder. It's a direct quote from Jesus advocating murder. Rebellion is a definite no-no. and is of the devil. Christianity also prepares followers for communism in that one is indoctrinated to endure injustice. Nearly everyone has heard the biblical scriptures about turning the other cheek, walking the extra mile, loving one's enemies, and so forth. These teachings work together with communism in destroying the justice system and personal rights. Crime is allowed to get so out of control, as it already has, that the populace is not only discouraged from fighting back, but if one should defend oneself, one is often punished for this. What these Jewish programs do is they set a trap. Most people eventually are more than willing to give up their rights in favor of ultra-strict laws in order to control crime. Both programs prohibit taking any personal action in the way of enforcing justice and place this responsibility in the hands of the state for communism and in the hands of that so-called God for Christianity. Any rebellion or fighting back is a grave offense. The acceptance of abuse and injustice are both very necessary for establishing a slave state. A slave must never try to fight back or rebel in any way. Hate is another taboo in both programs. A look into communism's birth. Communism was created out of the organization, the League of the Just. The motto of the League of the Just was, "All men are brothers," and its goals were the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth based on the ideals of love of one's neighbor, equality, and justice. At a congress held, this is a quote here, at a congress held in London in June 1847, the League of the Just merged with members of the Communist Corresponding Committee headed by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, adopting a new organizational charter and program and reconstituting itself as the Communist League. Okay. This is the that's the end of the quote. This is the basis of the Christian doctrine. We can trace communism's roots back to the radical liberal ideology in Europe, which itself is Christianity in disguise. As Nietzsche stated about the French Revolution and its liberal ideology as the, quote, daughter and continuation of Christianity, unquote. This radical universalist egalitarian doctrine is at the heart of Christianity and liberalism with its stepping off point into communism, where liberalism then morphed into communism openly. Quote, during the decade of the 1840s, the word communist came into general use to describe those who hailed the left wing of the Jacobin Club of the French Revolution as their ideological forefathers. This political tendency, saw itself as an egalitarian heritors of the 1795 Conspiracy of Equals, headed by Gracchus Babeuf, the sans-culottes of Paris, which had decades earlier been the base of support for Babeuf, artisans, journeymen, and the urban unemployed, was seen as a potential foundation for a new social system based upon the modern machine production of the day, unquote. The French thinker Étienne Cabet inspired the imagination with a novel about a utopian society based upon communal machine production. Voyage en Icarie, 1839. The revolutionary Louis Auguste Blanqui argued in favor of an elite organizing the overwhelming majority of the population against the rich, seizing the government in a coup d'etat, and instituting a new egalitarian economic order. A review of the emerging trends from Christianity to liberalism and into communism. Liberalism is Christianity without the Christ. William Gailey Simpson's Which Way Western Man. Ravilo Oliver, here's a quote. The other apostates I have mentioned, and many that are now forgotten together with almost all of the anti-Christians of recent centuries, exemplify the operation of what may be called the law of cultural residues. In all civilized societies, when a long-established and generally accepted belief is found to be incredible, good minds abandon it, but they commonly retain derivative beliefs that were originally deduced from the creed they have rejected, and logically must depend on it. Thus, it happened that modern enemies of Christianity rejected the mythology, but uncritically retained faith in the social and ethical superstitions derived from it, a faith which they oddly call rational, but hold with a religious fervor. They laugh at the silly story about Adam and his spare rib, but they continue to believe in a human race descended from a single pair of ancestors, and hence in a brotherhood of man. They speak of all mankind, giving to the term of unctuous and mystical meaning which they do not invest corresponding terms such as all marsupials or all ungulates. They prate about the rights of man, although a moment's thought should suffice to show that, in the absence of a decree from a supernatural monarch, there can be no rights other than those which the citizens of a stable and homogeneous society have, by covenant or established customs bestowed on themselves, and that while the citizens may show kindness to aliens, slaves, and dogs, such beings obviously can have no rights. They do not believe that one-third of a god became incarnate in the most squalid region on earth to associate with illiterate peasants, harangue you the rabble of a barbarian race, and magically exalt the ignorant and uncouth to make folly of the wisdom of this world, so that the last shall be first, that they do not believe, but they cling to the morbid hatred of superiority that makes Christians dote on whatever is lowly, inferior, irrational, debased, deformed, and degenerate. And that's how they destroy society. I'm just interjecting here. Christians at the hands of the Jews. Okay, they gabble about the sanctity of human life, especially the vilest forms of it, without reflecting that it takes a God creator to make something sacred. And they frantically agitate for a universal equality that can be attained only by reducing all human beings to the level of the lowest, evidently unaware that they are merely echoing the Christians' oft-expressed yearning to become sheep, the most stupid of all mammals, herded by a good shepherd, which is implicit in all the tales of the New Testament, although most bluntly expressed in another gospel, which reports Jesus as promising that after he has tortured and butchered the more civilized populations of the earth, there will be a resurrection, and his ovine pets will pop out of their graves, all of the same age, all of the same sex, all of the same stature, and all having indistinguishable features, so that they will be as identical as the bees in a swarm. Although the liberal and Marxist cults have doctrinal differences as great as those that separate Lutherans from Baptists, they are basically the same superstition, and whether or not we should call them religious depends on whether we restrict the word to belief in supernatural persons or extend it to include all forms of blind faith based on emotional excitement instead of observed facts and reason. When those atheistic cults scream out of their hatred of fascists and Nazis, they obviously must believe that those wicked persons are possessed of the devil and should therefore be converted or exterminated to promote holiness and love. And when they see racists who impiously substitute fact and reason for unthinking faith and approval in approved short fairy stories, their lust to extirpate evil is as great as that of the Christian mob that dragged the fair and too intelligent Hypatia from her carriage and lovingly used oyster shells to scrape the flesh from her bones while she was still alive. With very few exceptions, the anti-Christians, no doubt unwittingly, retained in their minds a large part of Christian doctrine, and they even revived the most poisonous elements of the primitive Bolshevism of antiquity, which had been attenuated or held in abeyance by the established churches in the great days of Christendom. And today, professed atheists do not think it odd that, on all social questions, they are in substantial agreement with the howling dervishers and evangelical shamans who, subsidized with lavish publicity by the organized Jewry, who control the boob tubes and other means of communications, greedily participate in the current drive to reduce Americans to total imbecility with every kind of irrational hoax. Christian theology is the grandmother of Bolshevism, and the quote is by Oswald Spengler. We can witness this statement with the open banner of Christian communism. Christian communists seek to achieve large-scale social change, however. Some believe that, rather than attempting to transform the politics and economics of an entire country, Christians should instead establish communism at a local or regional level only. The Latin American branch of Christian communist liberation theology, according to the theologians such as Leonardo Boff, is rooted in the concept that prudence is the understanding of situations of radical crisis. Among Christian communists, historical materialism is utilized as a methodology of analysis to define the nature of the crisis in question as a product of political economic dynamics and modalities derived from the workings of what is termed the late capitalist imperialist mode of production. According to this subset of liberation theology, the challenge for the Christian communist is then to define what it means in context of a concrete analysis of the concrete social reality, to affirm a preferential option for the poor and oppressed as praxis, active theory, and as commanded by an ethics allegedly rooted in the beatific teachings of Jesus. Christian communist liberation theology is not about evangelization per se, but rather about developing an orthopraxis, ethical action, the condition of coming to the light by doing the works of God, that aims to reconcile the beatific ethics of Jesus as espoused in the Sermon on the Mount with existing social struggles against what is termed neocolonialism or late capitalism. Both Christian communism and liberal theology stress orthopraxis over orthodoxy. A narrative of the nature of contemporary social struggles is developed via materialist analysis utilizing historiographic concepts developed by Karl Marx. A concrete example are the Paraguayan Sin Tierra landless movement, who engage in direct land seizures, and the establishment of socialized agricultural cooperative production in asentamientos. The contemporary Paraguayan Sin Tierra operate in a very similar manner as that of the Reformation era diggers. For Camilo Torres, the founder of the Colombian guerrilla group, ELN, developing his orthopraxis meant celebrating the Catholic Eucharist only among those engaged in armed struggle against the army of the Colombian state while fighting alongside them. Christian communists hold the biblical verses in Acts 2 and 4 as evidence that the first Christians lived in a communist society. Thomas Wharton Collins' preaching is a good description of biblical sources being used with the goal of a common property society. Professor Jose P. Miranda, Communism in the Bible, 1981, Mary Knoll, New York, Orbis Books, 1982. But in addition, they also cite numerous other biblical passages which in their view support the idea that communism is the most ethical social system, and that it is inescapably constitutive of the kingdom of God on earth. The most often quoted of these biblical citations are taken from three synoptic gospels, which describe the life and ministry of Jesus. One of Jesus' most famous remarks regarding the wealthy can be found in Matthew 19:16-24. The same event is also described in Mark 10:17-25 and in Luke 18:18-25. And the metaphor of a camel going through the eye of a needle is common both to Matthew and Luke. Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus to his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus also described money changers, those engaged in currency exchange, as thieves and chased them out of the temple in Jerusalem. This is described in Matthew 21:12-14, Mark 11:15, and John 2:14-16. In addition, communistic attitudes and implications can be found in Leviticus 25:35-38. Most significantly, this is a part of the law of Moses, and as such is a commandment rather than exhortation or airing of opinion. This fact bears heavily upon subsequent discussion of the question of compulsory or voluntary relinquishing of riches, either as a possible entry requirement to Christian grace, or as a means of achieving divine intentions for human social order. And I want to mention here that in the Talmud, the Jewish Talmud, it says that all property and possessions of the Gentiles belong to the Jews. The Jew has the right to seize. I have this quote verbatim. It's not in this article, but the Jews are entitled to all the material wealth of the world. In other words, us Gentiles are entitled to nothing. And that's where this crap comes from. So, in other words, they're constantly drumming a real negative, sick, rotten concept of money and material possessions into Gentiles. So there's so many impoverished Gentiles. I mean, it's horrific. And poverty is the number one killer of human beings, especially Gentile human beings. The Jews, a very small percentage of them are poor. Very small. I mean, like 5%. Most of them have unimaginable wealth, and this is how they get it. Okay, and as for the references, the page 108, the Goebbels Diaries, edited and translated by Louis P. Lochner, copyright 1971 by Universal Award House, Incorporated, 1948 by Doubleday and Company, Garden City, New York. And that's where Goebbels' quote came from. And the Wikipedia article on Christian Communism, Wikipedia article on League of the Just, Wikipedia article on Communist League, Wikipedia article on Christian Communism, again, it was used more than once, William Gailey Simpson's Which Way Western Man?